Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Thank you. Something else about George, he knows he cries really easily, so... So, yeah, something like that. Yeah, no tissues, please. Thanks, church. You can sit down as I set myself up with two hands. Alrighty. Very good. Thank you, Musos. Thank you so much. As always, awesome. Hades, you need to stop because if you keep going, I'll just keep crying, buddy. Thank you. Alrighty. I always like starting sermons with questions, and I don't apologize, but today there will be quite a number of questions I'm going to ask you, and you know, a lot of them are intended on you being reflective, particularly around what I want to share. And you know, I really felt to talk about trusting in God. So today I want to speak to what are the things that we typically go through life that can be used as opportunities to help us to learn to trust in God? I've been a Christian for just over 20 years and I'm still learning. I don't know it all. I don't have the answers. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Just ask my wife. She will have a list of things that she loves about me. But we're human, right? We're not perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why His grace is there. His mercy is in you every morning, and there's no judgment. No judgment, just as long as you come to Him repentant and willing to turn away from, you know, sin. But I want to start with a question, and the question to you is this. It's, did you know that the more you trust God, the more He is able to meet needs in your life? So who knows that we all have needs? Do you have needs? Lift your hands if you have needs. Oh, a few people have needs, probably more than that really, but so many needs, right? We've got physical needs, emotional needs, mental, spiritual, financial, a lot of needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I love this scripture. Because it's a promise to us, right? Like, He will supply all your needs. And needs here is necessities. We don't want to confuse this with wants. Because God doesn't supply all your wants. He supplies all your needs. And when I think about needs, you know, some of the things that come to mind are things that are aligned with God's will. And things that sustain your life in Him. So things like peace, right? With everything that's going on in the world today, we need peace, supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We definitely need strength, and I'm not talking about bodybuilding strength, although I would love some bodybuilding strength. I'd need to go to the gym for that, but that's another story. Wisdom, understanding, daily provision. You know, there's a practical part of this where necessities are food, water, that God is talking through in the meaning of the original text. And His promise is that He will supply all of our needs, all of these things, if we trust Him. And I think that the key to just a footnote in this is when we think about God supplying our needs, like supernatural peace, wisdom, understanding, that comes from Him. But there are practical things that come from Him that are through people. Like, we are His hands and His feet. And you may have some practical needs right now, financial things, whatever it be. The answer to that prayer could be the person sitting in this room. So my encouragement is to be open and hear what God is saying, because there are some practical things that you could do that He could ask you to do to help meet a need in someone's life. When I read that scripture, I can't help but think that, you know, if God will supply all your needs, then why is it that sometimes our needs go unmet? And we often lean on, you know, biblical promises like, or principles like, you know, Jehovah Jireh is our provider. And that is a promise. And I don't doubt the truth of that promise. But every promise has a condition. There's a premise with every promise. There's an element of faith that needs to come into activating God's promises. So ask again, did you know that the more you trust God, the more he's able to meet needs in your life? In Matthew 9, 28 to 29, there's two men that need healing, blind and a mute. And Jesus says to them, do you believe that I can make you see? And like, yeah. It's like, all right. Well, according to your faith, let it be done to you. You play a role in how God meets the needs in your life. Not just in your life, but in the life of others. The more you trust him, the more he can meet your needs. It's in accordance to your faith. So the question, another question you need to ask yourself is, how can I learn to believe and trust in God so that he can meet the needs in my life? And how can I increase my faith so that I can allow him to do this, not just in my life, but in the lives of those around me? You know, faith is like a muscle. I remember I was doing a personal training certificate many years ago, and, you know, just learning about the body. And, you know, muscle grows when you put it under load, under stress, right? If you're lifting a bicep, you're putting, a dumbbell. That's the word I was looking for, thank you. If you're lifting up a dumbbell, you're putting pressure on your bicep. And what happens is little tears occur in your muscle fibers. And then as you intake protein helps repair that muscle. That muscle eventually grows and you're in a better position to hold more heavier weight. And faith is like that too. Except the way that our faith grows is that we get stretched, right? We go through stuff. We go through circumstances that stretch our faith. Trials, tribulation, insert thing here. It's ultimately an opportunity for us to develop and exercise our faith so that we can trust God more and that ultimately he can bless our life. So you may be in a season where you're going through something, right? Whether it's health, there's strife in your home, in your workplace, you've got financial challenges. You may feel that the odds are stacked against you. And I just want to assure you this morning that God is with you, right? He wants to lead you and navigate you through this season. And that as you place your trust in him, he will direct your path and meet all your needs. I just want to open in prayer. Father, thank you for what you're going to do here this morning, Lord. I just pray that your spirit would just speak through me this morning, Father, that people wouldn't hear me, but Lord God, that they'd hear your heart. And I pray that the hearts listening would be receptive. Father, that they would allow your word to illuminate things in their life, Lord, that your spirit wants them to work on. And God, that as they surrender that to you, Lord God, that they would continue to increase their faith and trust in you. And that through that, God, they would see amazing things in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. In doing a bit of research for this, I'm leaning on some teaching from Rick Warren. He has written some awesome books. There's a book called Purpose Driven Life, which I recommend reading multiple times throughout your life, because if you're like me, you probably forget it the second you put the book down. But he talks to four tests that ultimately we go through in life. And these aren't tests that we go through once and that's it, we've passed it. These are the types of tests that you continually go through throughout life. And some of you may be going through some of these tests right now. But the first one is the pressure test. So ask yourself, How do I handle stress? Do I depend on myself when I'm stressed? Do I turn to other things when I'm stressed, or do I turn to God? In Psalm 50:15, it says, I want you to call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me. Have you ever been delivered by God in something where you just had a need and you're like, God, you're the only one that can get me through this? And when he does, what do? You're like, oh, man, you are awesome, right? Unfortunately, many people don't really resort to God, like as a first option. And I'm guilty of that too. There's some people when they're stressed, they resort to all sorts of, substances, right? Some people go, oh, I feel a bit low, pill to get me an upper. Feeling a little too high, need a downer. All right. Oh, feeling a little stressed. Maybe some people resort to alcohol. I know what you're thinking. I'm Christian. I don't do that. And that's cool. I get it. But there's probably other stuff that we resort to as well, right? You know, when stuff is going bad in your life, do you just call someone and complain about it? Like, is that how you deal with it? Right? I'm just going to call Pastor Son and just... And you do that and it doesn't make you feel better anyway. Or maybe, and this one's close to home, maybe when you're stressed, you kind of lean on some comfort food, right? There's that something that you like eating that goes, yeah, that makes me feel like I'm, a child again, and mum's home and she's cooking nice warm apple pie. Yep, that's me. That's me. Maybe the type of person that says, you know what, I'm a bit stressed. I need some retail therapy. I'm just going to go do some shopping. Or worse, I won't go shopping. I'll just pull out a mobile and start buying a ton of stuff without seeing it. Or maybe when you're stressed, you resort to entertainment. You know, jump on the platform, whatever it is, Netflix, Prime, and just kind of scrolling through. Or pull up your phone and start looking at social media and start doom scrolling. Gosh, that never makes me feel better. So what do you resort to when the pressure's on? God can be low on the list sometimes. And I think we do that sometimes because, well, for a couple reasons, right? But without, getting a degree in psychology, I think some of the reasons why we resort to things other than God sometimes is because we're impatient. We say the prayer and we want the answer now. Like, God, fix this now, right? And because of that, we tend to resort to our own devices, and instead of allowing God and giving God the opportunity to fix us and rescue us, we do our own thing. And look, sometimes it's just a pattern of behavior. Like, I come back to me resorting to apple pie, right, as an example. Comfort food, whatever it is. Even this week with everything going on in the world, it was a bit stressful. I'm like, oh, this is insane. What's going on with society and culture? And not even hungry, and I'm just finding myself gravitating towards a fridge and just opening up and going, what am I going to cook? Like, why do I want to cook for? I'm not even hungry. And for me, like, I know that this is my thing because, when I grew up, my mum, to comfort us, would feed us. Right? It's a very ethnic European thing to do. It's like, how was your day at school? It's okay, I cook you something. Right? That was the answer to everything. And that's just a pattern of behavior now that I have to kind of contend with a lot. But that's my thing. So it's all good, and I'm working through it, and I'm going to overcome it one day. A really cool example that I came across while preparing this was that I want you to visualize that you're in the desert, right? You're walking through, it's pretty hot, you're super thirsty. And in the distance, you see what looks like a lemonade stand, and there's these big neon lights. And as you get closer to it, these neon lights are pointing to a well, and there's a neon sign that says, God's free and unlimited water. Because in reality, that's what's available to us, right? All we need to do is seek him, ask him, and we get that. But often what we do is we end up resorting to our own things, and we just end up really digging our own well. Get the shovel, start digging your own well. And sometimes we have the audacity to say, hey, God, can you bless me while I dig this well? It's like, but I've already got this water for you right here. And you just keep digging. Some of us are going through the pressure test right now. And you may be resorting to things, whatever it is, no judgment from me. But you're trying to fill a void. You're trying to suppress the pressure. You're trying to deal with it your own way. And all you're doing is you're digging a well that won't hold any water. Second test. How do we handle disappointment? Yeah, that's another hard one. Life can be pretty disappointing. You know, some things don't really turn out the way you want it to. Like, I don't know, I'm not old, kind of nearly middle-aged, whatever. I just go, oh, maybe could I be a different place right now? What vision did I have? How do I compare to that now? And you kind of go through all these things, and sometimes that can bring on disappointment. You know, whether it's a career, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a fighter pilot. I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I don't think I would have passed the physical, but... And sometimes, you know, relationships. Yeah, you have an idea of what a relationship would be like, and then the reality is something completely different, and you can be quite disappointed at that. Now, your kids, you have dreams, visions, purpose for your kids, and sometimes they grow up and you don't see that fulfilled, and that can be pretty disappointing. Sometimes we chase things in order to bring a form of satisfaction. I remember when I was growing up, I like to say young and wise, but at times I wasn't. I remember I wanted to experience a bit of thrill, a bit of excitement in my life. And one of the things that I thought would do this was that I would buy a really cool Japanese import sports car, so Nissan Skyline. I've got a photo of it.
Wow.
Yeah, she was pretty. It was super fast. It was at the time where we had a lot of the Fast and Furious movies come out. Yeah, who remembers that? Who was in their 20s then like me? And then after you watch the movie, you just hoon home like you're a character in the movie. Very unwise. Highly recommend not doing that as a responsible parent now. But this car and I, oh, we tested the laws of physics together so many times. We challenged how fast could I go. And honestly, I thought that that would give me a bit of excitement, a bit of thrill, maybe even a bit of status. And honestly, all it ended up being was something that was way expensive. It would guzzle so much fuel. Bottomless pockets, spending money on this mod, on that thing, and it was just a waste of money. And it got so many unnecessary attention too. I remember my brother was driving it, and he was like, the cops pulled me over. And I didn't know why, because I wasn't breaking the law, and they pulled me over. And there wasn't a lot of cars like this in the area at the time. And I remember him saying, the police officer asked him to wind down the window, and he's put his head into the car and he's gone, is this a Skyline? Can I take a look? And he's like, can you pop the hood? And my brother's popped the hood and he's like, it was so awkward. I thought I broke the law, but he just wanted to take a look at the engine. It's like, rev it. Yeah, unnecessary attention, really. And sometimes, you know, when we're... We could kind of want things to get a form of satisfaction, and you end up trying that, buying the T-shirt and realizing it didn't do it. And we do this in other ways too. You know, if only I got this job, this career, then I'll be happy. You know, if only I got married, found my soulmate, then I'll be happy. You know, if only my kids, my parents... insert here, then life would be better. We can't expect things or people to be our saviour. If we do that, then we're really setting up ourselves for failure. The answer to our disappointment is not another person or thing. In Isaiah 2:22, it says, "Don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath." What good are they? People are only human. They're going to let you down. Don't expect them to be your saviour. There's only one saviour, and that's Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord, not other people, their hope and confidence." In Romans 10:11, it says, "As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed." Yeah, but you know, if I get this job and it earns this much and then I can get this car and then that house and, you know, then maybe I'll be a little happier. Sometimes disappointment can be a warning light that you trusted in something for your happiness other than God. Romans 15:13, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." I feel like we really need to read that again. "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill each and every one of you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. And if you do trust him, church, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter what you're going through right now, just have faith, believe in him, trust him." Proverbs 3:5-6, one of my favorite scriptures, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Lots in this scripture. Got a few commentaries that I'll just read through. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, acknowledging that human understanding is limited compared to God's wisdom. It's trying to say that we should rely on God and his judgment rather than your own judgment. Trusting God involves letting go of pride, personal plans, and the desire to comprehend everything. Who always likes to understand everything, you know? I love my kids. When they were really little, and even now, they're like, you ask them to do something or something happens, and they're like, why? Yeah. Well, maybe because I asked you to. Because I said it. Can you just do it, please? Right? That's why. The passage does not imply abandoning reason entirely, but rather advocates for considering God's wisdom as found in his word, along with one's conscience and the prompting of his spirit and wise counsel when making decisions. I like that. That's pretty balanced. I didn't write it, so I won't take credit for it, which is why it sounds really good. I like this one too. It says, "The verse encourages developing a healthy distrust of self and acknowledging God's presence in all aspects of life." Have you ever thought, because I thought this when I read it, I'm like, that's what I needed in life growing up, just a little more healthy distrust of self. So how are you going to handle disappointment? Is it going to be through complaining? Is it meditating on what shoulda, coulda, woulda been? Because ultimately your disappointment is a test. It's an opportunity for you to trust God with something that's disappointing in your life. And I know that's heartbreaking if you're in a season of disappointment, but only God can give you the peace that you need. So are you going to be the person who says, well, I trust in me? Or am I going to trust in God? The third test is the persistence test. So will you keep your commitments? Life is shaped by your commitments. Your character, developed by your commitments. Your influence, your success, is influenced by your commitments. Your eternal destiny is shaped by your commitments. If you want to learn an instrument, it takes commitment, right? Like, I wish I knew how to play guitar and all sorts of things, but I just don't have the commitment to do that. And contrary to popular belief, we do not live in the Matrix. I don't know if you remember the first movie where Neo, Keanu Reeves' character, wanted to learn martial arts, and he had the techie guy who just basically downloaded a whole bunch of martial arts into his brain. And then Keanu goes, "I know Kung Fu, whoa." And that was that. Oh, it's more like Keanu in Point Break, but you get the drift, right? Like, I wish learning was that easy, but it's not. Rick Warren states, "The hallmark of emotional and spiritual maturity is that you can keep wise commitments." The key in this is to not overcommit, right? You want to do what you feel God is leading you to do. Don't do so much that you have no time to rest and reflect and allow God to restore strength to you, both spiritually and physically. But at some point, your commitment will be tested. Not once, likely a number of times. And you know, you're going to ask yourself, will I do what I see others do? Or will I maintain my integrity? In Ecclesiastes 5:4, it says, "When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him." Have you ever made a commitment or promise to God and not kept it? "Lord, I promise I'm going to read my Bible every day. Lord, I promise I'm going to share the gospel more with my family and friends and colleagues. Lord, I promise that I'm going to tithe." But then things happen, right? "Oh God, I'm too busy. Yeah, I don't really feel comfortable witnessing to people. I don't really feel like I've got the goods to do that. Oh God, it's financially tight right now. I don't think I can." Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, "Those who obey him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right." See, I love this because I'm a biased action type of person. I like to do. But the wise person always finds a way to keep their commitments. You know, some people will give excuses. I've given excuses in the past. But wise people find the time and the way to do what they say. And there's no judgment. Like, if you've made commitments to God and you've dropped the ball on that, I have to. God's grace is there. It's sufficient. But go back to him in prayer and ask, you know, "What do I need to do, Lord? What do you want me to do?" Because if he wants you to witness more in your workplace, you need to pray and invest into that. Right? You don't need to be an evangelist to witness to people. You just need to be able to talk about Jesus. Right? And if you have the courage to trust him in that, then be the wise person that makes a way. Go and learn how to do that well if you are struggling how to do that well. Right? But don't be hard on yourself too. Make a commitment to God and then stick to it. Put one foot in front of the other and do it. What's the worst that could happen? Being able to honor your commitments is a test to the kind of character you're going to develop. So will your discipline and consistency demonstrate that you honor and trust God? Or will you give up too soon because times are tough? This is a test of your character and faith. Psalm 15:1. Says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" And the last part of verse 4 tells us that. It says, "Those who fear the Lord, who keep an oath, even when it hurts." I want to be the type of believer that keeps an oath even when it hurts. Lord, it's really hard tithing right now because, you know, things are tough, but I want to be the person that keeps doing that even when it's tough. Lord, I want to witness to my friends in the workplace, but I know culture today is not welcoming of Christianity, and it's actually quite scary, but I want to overcome that. I want to commit to that, and honor that commitment. And I want to encourage you to be the Christ follower who keeps that oath, even when it hurts. The fourth scenario and the final one, and if the musos want to come up, that'd be great, is the priorities test. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He will meet every one of your needs if he is first in your life." So how do you know if he's first in your life? I don't think saying it is enough. So there's some questions you can ask yourself just to evaluate, you know, where is he from a priority perspective. The first question you can ask is, what do I think about the most? When you have free time, where does your mind wander to? What you think about most is what you value. Second question to ask yourself is, where does my money go first? Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Another one is, how do I spend my time? You know, when you have free time, some of you may not have a lot of free time, I get that. How do you spend it? Do you spend it resorting to some of those things I said earlier? Yeah, doom scrolling, entertainment, whatever it be. Or do you spend it in communion and in fellowship with the King of Kings? Trusting him with your life, your family, all the challenges you're going through. We can often look for dopamine hits in all sorts of avenues of our life. But it's God who satisfies the depths of our soul. I want to share a testimony happened in the last 12 months. Not many will know, but in July last year, I was in a position where I had to look for work. And it was super tough for me. Job market was really hard. It took 6 months to get a role just because more supply than demand. God help me, my brain hurts. Anyways, and like to give you a picture of what happened leading up to that point, I'd worked for one company for 23 years of my life. And I think that's a good thing. Like a lot of people like moving around every couple of years. I didn't. I'm just like, I like this place. I like the people. I like what I do. I'm going to stay here. And when I was 19, I started in IT for an insurance company. And in 2022, I started to get to a point where I felt like I wasn't growing. And I felt like I was being stretched to do something different, but there was nothing available internally for me to do. And something had come along, which was a great opportunity. And I just didn't want to leave because I was super comfortable where I was. I could have easily stayed there another 20 years and retired. And I remember going to three different people. One was intentional, spoke to Pastor Dave at the time. He knew what was going on. And he said to me, "I really feel that God wants you to step out of your comfort zone. Right. The season of comfort is over." Cool. Okay. I went to two other people, not from this church. They knew nothing about the situation. I didn't even tell them what I wanted prayer for. And as they prayed for me, they echoed the same words. They said, the time for comfort is over. I was like, oh, dude, seriously? Do you have to? And I end up resigning, taking up another role. I end up finishing with the company on Wednesday, new role on the Thursday, no break. And that was in 2022. And for 2 years, my life was crazy. My work life was so intense. It would be 12, 15-hour days, at least 6 days a week. On weekends, I'd be at the sporting activities with the kid, scoring at Jude's basketball game, and I'd be getting a call saying something's broken, we need to bring people together. And I'd spend the rest of the day on the call trying to bring techies around together to solve problems. Like, it was full on. I had to hire 20 people in 2 months. Who knows, when you hire 20 people in 2 months, you're going to make some mistakes. And that's going to cause some more challenges for you. Yep, that happened. So it was super busy. We had people problems. We had technical problems. And it was insane. 12 to 15 hour days, no joke. Very little sleep. Personal life was okay. But, you know, 3 kids, all who are very much strong-willed. Like, that takes a strain, right? My dad was going through chemo treatment, as most are aware. So there's lots of stuff going on. Like, you talk about the pressure test, the stress test, priorities, commitments, like, it was all there at once. So it was exhausting. And it got to a point mid-year last year where I was like, I just can't sustain this, right? And my boss realized that, right? And we got to a point where I was like, okay, I can't do this. I need rest. I need to reprioritize things that matter in my life. And basically decided that, you know, I'd finish up in October. I had 3 months' notice, more than enough time to hopefully find a job. But the market said otherwise. It was pretty difficult. I don't know if people in IT here, but it was really rough trying to find work. And I was in contact with a lot of recruiters because I had to hire so many people. And every one of them told me, mate, it's really hard getting a job right now. Like, get your head right. It's going to take 6 months. And I was like, all right, God, I need help. And I did everything I could to apply for work. In 4 weeks, I applied for like 100 roles. All day, every day, I was just applying for things, setting up your cover letters, your resume. And it was so tough. And only 10% of those applications came back with a, hey, we've received your application. And I think 8 of those were from an automated system. So I felt so important. I think 2 real people actually got back to me and said, hey, I've read it, but we're just not what we're looking for right now. And I was in so much stress, and you know, we were in the process of looking to build a house, and there was so many things, and my mind just went to, I'm not going to be able to provide for my kids. Like, that's where my head went. And it was challenging. And I remember dropping to my knees 4 weeks into looking. And I said, God, I'm doing everything I can here and I'm getting nowhere. What's going on? And as I kind of closed my eyes and just bowed my head down to the ground, I heard him say, yeah, you are, but you're not trusting me in this. Talk about conviction. I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. I'm actually not trusting you in this. I'm trying to do this in my own strength. And I repented then and there. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this in my own strength. I'm going to trust you with this. And pretty much instantly, the burden that I had been feeling for so long had lifted. There was such a peace that had overcome my mind. The reality stayed the same. Like, circumstances were still there. But the way I felt about it was completely different. I was no longer just trying to do it by myself. And a long story short, got to a point where I got an interview. One of the people I used to work with said, come work for us. And I said, sure, I'll take it. I'll do anything right now. And I went to the first interview and I nailed it. And I'm like, yes, this is it. I'm getting it. I'm like, okay, second interview. Got to the interview. Didn't nail it. Not good. Set back. And I thought, oh God, the one chance I had, I think I blew it. God's like, just keep trusting me in this. Another couple of weeks went by. Reached out to someone and they said, hey, I'll put your name forward for this role because we used to work together. I said, thanks. And over the course of the next week or so, I end up getting a role. And when I look at the time from looking to getting, it was something like 7 weeks. And then I thought, everyone was telling me, get ready for a 6-month slog to try and find something. And to find something in a much shorter time for me, and particularly coming to a point where I was recognizing that doing it in my own strength was not yielding anything. For God to come through at a point where I thought I wouldn't be able to provide for my family was such a testimony of what God can do when you trust Him. I'll start with the same question. I'll finish with the same question I started with. Did you know that the more you trust God, the more He's able to meet needs in your life?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.